Make our beginning this evening in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. And I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as we have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you may be seated. Thank you. mercy and peace be richly poured out upon every one of you gathered here this evening. We have been speaking with Trinity members and guests over the past 5 weeks, and with 1 week being gone, a sixth week someone else filled in. But we talked about the fivefold function of the Christian church. We talked about worship. We talked about witness. We talked about the study of the Word of God. And then we talked about fellowship last week. And being in a relationship that goes like the cross between us and God, and a cross beam that goes between us and our fellow man. Today we're going to be speaking about the final of those fivefold functions, stewardship. I remind you of Trinity's mission is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through ministries which strengthen and equip people for Christian witness and service in downtown, metropolitan Orlando, and the world. Our purpose in all that we do, why we exist, is to bring people one step closer to Jesus. Stewardship is really about being a steward, a manager of all that God has placed under our care. You might call it responsible management of something entrusted to us, placed in our care, under our direction. Utilizing and managing all of resources God provides is a Christian definition. Taking all those resources for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. The psalmist tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. All that I've come and have comes from God. You and I need to understand that. My life, my home, my family, my job, my resources, my abilities, and my capabilities. All of it is a gift from God, and we get to use those gifts. But we also get to use them to glorify God and the betterment of His creation. Amen. Team stands for together each of us accomplish more. And I think if we look at stewardship, that is certainly a very true statement. Together we accomplish more as we work together using our God-given time and talents and treasures, and we begin to see how God has placed us together side by side in order for us to be able to perform and to function as the body of Christ, to reach out and to touch the world in which we live in, to change and touch, to impact lives that surround us. Now, what do we have to manage or steward? We have 5.8.2 acres of property. We have a sanctuary with stained glass windows that is very, very ornate and beautiful. And that's a quote from two of our visitors that came in today for the very first time. In the loggia, we have classrooms. In Heritage Hall, we have classrooms on one floor and then the second. Church offices, a pastoral team, and our finance offices. Fellowship Hall has not only a dining facility, but also a kitchen, and then also a gymnasium attached to that, a full gym. Our child development center is a multi-million-dollar building that houses some 310 children who've come here to learn about Jesus 5 days a week, and we hope for a sixth, called Sunday or Saturday. We have playgrounds, we have a soccer field, we have a courtyard, we have wonderful facilities, and we have one of the best organs in the United States, plus 4 additional baby grand pianos or electronic pianos. All of these resources God has given us to manage and for us to use to His glory, to sing His praises, and to bring people one step closer to Jesus. We also have a century-old building with termites, stained glass windows that need to be sealed, and sandstone that needs some attention. Our ACs are 15 years plus. throughout our entire campus almost, except for the CDC. We are attempting to do minor fixes on the Ruth Lane properties over here. And in doing so, we hope to be able to prepare them to be sold. All of this is about being a steward, a manager of all that God has given us, entrusted to us. And together, we are responsible for this 5.2 acres and all that sit upon it. But it doesn't stop there. We also have people resources. We have almost 300 people who worship with us throughout a weekend, throughout the regular season of the church year. We also have pianists, vocalists, a praise team of 7, and a lot of other things that are going on, not only in worship, but throughout this entire weekend of worship. Around a dozen people are involved in carrying out each one of our services. Thanks for using your talents to serve your Savior, my friends. Mary Holum just read the scriptures. David's back there playing the piano and the organ. Tom is our usher this evening and our elder, and will be assisting with communion. His wife, Terry, is in the back serving as usher. We need Sunday school and adult Bible teachers. There's about 7 to 8 more people that are regularly a part of that teaching staff. We have people who enter attendances and guest card information and the like. It takes a lot of people, is the point that I'm trying to straighten out, is to simply say, we are all in service to our Lord and our Savior. We have a PowerPoint projectionist that's here to help us and to be able to make sure we're on the right slide and saying the right things. And on our CDC and throughout our entire campus, we have just under 100 employees. We have just also on the leadership council 9 leaders, lay leaders. That includes 1 pastor, myself. I'm already seeing the favor of God as we talked last week of the talk of fellowship. How we will be seeing more ministry happening through all of us working together, and now this evening as we become stewards of the mysteries of God in the weeks ahead. We have financial resources also. From our church, over $1 million was raised last year, and we only projected $800 to $850. But I thank God the Holy Spirit, who is mightily at work, especially in that last quarter, as we raised a $373,000 shortfall to end the year in the black. Thanks be to God. The fingerprints of God are upon this ministry and upon you as His children as we carry out this ministry. We will and soon will be calling and have a budget that is prepared to call for a replacement for our DCE who retired. We'll be calling that individual, hopefully by October, as well as a receptionist and clerical administrator that's going to be able to free up and bring onto board 2 people to work in the ministry of this congregation alongside of me as staff. All of these are stewardship opportunities. And by God's grace, He has poured out all of these blessings upon us. And we can see them time and time again. Things that we have to manage, yes, and take care of, yes, but things that God has blessed us with and entrusted to us. Thanks be to God. As Glenn Schumacher said, one of our elderly gentlemen who said, and he had to get a long time to get prepared to get into his chair and his car and to be coming here to services last week. And he said, as I communed him, he said, Lord, I quote the Psalms, it is good to be here. And I hope and I pray that that's your prayer as well, as you start to see, Lord, it's so good to be here, seeing all the things that you're doing. And here's what he says in the book of Ephesians. God gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists and shepherds, pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain in the unity of faith and the knowledge of God and the Son of God. I can't do it all. And sometimes I try. I admit that. And I've got good people, good lay leaders around me who say, Pastor, let us help. It's okay. For you see, what they're reading and what I need to be reminded of and what we work on together is understanding that I have been sent here by God Almighty to equip you, the saints, for your work of service unto the Lord. It's not all mine to do, and it's certainly not any one of yours to do, but it is all of ours together, mine included. It's what we do, and we do it together for the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all together, Paul writes, attain to the unity of faith, a commonness of faith, and knowledge of the Son of God. And it's so by us working together, praying together, worshiping together, witnessing together, that it all comes together as we each use our God-given gifts to the glory of God. Paul writes, of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Paul's role as a steward was to serve and to bring the ministry of God's grace in Christ, relying on the work of God himself in this ministry to bring all people into a relationship with Christ. Yesterday, a visitor came to my office and said, Pastor, I'd like to have some time with you. Could I stop in? I'm really sad. My cat died. I thought about that. I've had cats. I was sad when they passed. I've had dogs, and I was sad when they passed. And so I said, sure. But my friends, I'm so glad that I opened my calendar and my life to this walk-in. Because his real question is, Pastor, can I really be certain that my sins can be forgiven? Can I ever be certain that if I died, I will go to heaven? When we start to think about the things that we do or that are beyond our ministry or beyond our role or beyond what is expected of us as a congregation or as a church or as a pastor or as a member, I want you to know that God sometimes has set this divine appointment before you for the very reason that you get to be that one who will be a vessel of God's grace, pouring out the assurance and confidence to this person who's sad about their kitty, but who needed to have the pity and understand that Christ's love was for them and that it was because of Christ's suffering and death upon the cross that they could be certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that their sins are forgiven. And in Christ, those who believe on him have the promise of everlasting life. John chapter 20, verse 31, you remember, says that. These things have been written so that you may know for certain that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing on his name, you can be certain you have life in him. Paul continues to write, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, those who were outside of the church, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what I had opportunity to do. Paul's role was to preach to those also beyond the church. There's a story that I would love to share with you, but it talks about our people of this church coming together to help a sister do something that she could not do herself. And I would just love to tell you, but I can't. And I want to be able to say to you, I'm so proud of those people who just said of their own free volition, I'm going to go do this because my sister needs me. They didn't wait. They didn't ask to get a form or a committee. They simply did what they believed God wanted them to do. They were empowered by Jesus Christ, none other than Jesus Christ, who by the power of the gospel had called them to be an ambassador of reconciliation, one who would stand in the gap with their sister. Paul wrote it this way, to bring to light to everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. You see, it is through the church that this message ekes out and is given through people like you and me to people whom we come into contact with. This was according, Paul says, to the eternal purposes that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Trinity, my mission, God's mission, our mission is that together we make known the mystery of God to all people who are around us. People that are in your fellowship. People that are in your neighborhoods. People that you work with. People that you come into contact with. I know you'll stand with them. I know you'll be there to support them and to help them. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, and we look at this section of Scripture, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God has given each one of you and me at least one spiritual gift. What's yours? Think about that. What's your spiritual gift? There are a variety of gifts and a variety of services, but it is the same Lord who gives to each of us at least one gift and empowers them all, makes them all work. The batteries are in. They're charged up. God is at work, not only giving the gift, but also empowering them to work, to bear fruit. Each of our gifts are given for the common good of the body of Christ. They're not to be kept for our own selves. For without your gift or gifts, we are less than what God intends this body of believers to be. It's always been my belief and experience. And I have another pastor who's here tonight, and I know almost for certain that as he is working with me on a mission, that he's probably heard me say this. God never expects us to do more than he provides us with. He will always give us the resources we need to do all that he has asked us to accomplish. We did see that last year, did we not? Financially, with $374,000 shortfall, then ending up in the black. And we saw this again this year in a vacation Bible school with an outpouring of teachers and assistants and students. Of all of our areas of stewardship, the management of people, plugging in and utilizing their God-given gifts, not squandering them and not stopping them from being used, is probably one of the most difficult things for the church, church staff, elders, and leaders to manage fully. We ask for your prayers in doing this. But we want to do this. We need to do this. And this involves us identifying together each of our areas of passions and gifts of you as God's people to serve in, but also to provide you the greatest opportunities for spiritual growth and fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I've always had the saying, a person in every pew, and a place of importance for every person. Over the coming weeks, we will together explore your spiritual gifts and where you might want to plug in here at Trinity and beyond to the glory of God and the common good of the purpose God has called us to do of bringing people one step closer to Christ. As we close this sermon series, we are reminded of worship, which is prayer and praise of God on a daily basis, of witness where we share who is Jesus and what he means to me and why he's so important to them. The Word of God, where we study and meditate on that Word, which is the very power of God unto our salvation. And fellowship, where we talk about our relationship between God and man, but also ourselves and our fellow man. as we serve together as stewards of God's mercy and grace, managing all that God has blessed us with. May God bless you, Trinity Lutheran Church, as we go out on this journey of faith together, on the mission of God that has now been set before us to carry out His work to reach the people in those 400 apartments that are going up across the street, and all the residents that will come as the hotel guests, and all the people that are surrounding us that don't know their Lord and Savior. May we play a role in reaching them and in ministering to the membership of this congregation and of our Child Development Center. God be with you, and God be with me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Make confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, revolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. God of salvation, you chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
We sing together. You are my strength.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Jesus.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Lord and Savior Jesus, into your arms of grace and mercy we come with bended knee and humbled heart, to your throne of mercy and grace, where you promise to hear and to bring your answer to our every prayer. Lord, hear our confessions of sin and shortcomings. Hear our cries for help. Hear, O Lord, our prayers for health and healing. Hear, O Lord, our cries for help in distressing situations. Lord, we ask that your will be done in all who seek your attention, seek your answer to their prayers. May they know that you have heard them, that you've answered them, and that your will is being done even at this time. Lord, help each of us to trust and to rest in your mercy and in your grace and the answers that you bring unto all of us. Lord, as we look at the functions of this congregation, of every congregation, of worshiping you, of witnessing of you, of studying and meditating upon your word, that power unto our salvation, of being able to be in fellowship, not only with you, but also with our fellow man, and to serve you as stewards of your mysteries, of your mercies and grace, with all that you've blessed us with, that they are tools for us to serve you, things that are treasures to be extended to others. O Lord, hear our prayer as we seek to be your children, living in your world, serving in your church, and being brought closer to you and to our fellow man. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we pray also that you'd bless the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as they gather in convention. May you bless and be with President Matthew Harrison, who was newly reelected to office and will be reinstalled into that office this week. We thank you for the convention that will be held in Tampa, and we ask your blessings upon the church and the work of the church at large, beyond individual congregations, to that which can be carried out not only in our neighborhoods and towns and communities, but around the world, through our colleges and universities and seminaries, and through our missionaries, such as Sean Trump. We ask your blessings upon one and all who will attend, give them safe travel and journey, and be with them, as well as President Greg Walton, Mark Brink, Dan Reichert, and the staff of the Florida Georgia District. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Lord, we pray for those who are battling mental illness or suffering from depression. Be with them, comfort them, and bring them peace in the knowledge of your grace and of the everlasting life awaiting all believers. Lord, you are the great physician. Be with your servant Bob as he recovers from respiratory illness. We ask you to bless his caregivers and return him to full health. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, we also ask that you'd comfort Richard Boss as he mourns the loss of his wife, Faye, whose memorial service will be held this Sunday at 2 p.m. May you gather those who are here to mourn such a loss and bring comfort to Richard through their presence, but most importantly, through your presence, Lord. Lord, we also pray that you would be with Gary as he undergoes this week ahead surgery, that you'd be with him and his doctors and nurses and all who will attend to his surgery. Help him to fully recover and to bring health and healing to his body, particularly his jaw. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also give you thanks for the return of the National Youth Gathering, our own members of Trinity who attended and who returned uplifted and refreshed and yet tired and ready to get some time to relax and to rest up, but to get ready to return to the work of the Lord here at Trinity. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we just ask that you would be with all who have had any of these prayers and asking that you would join us now together, congregation, in that prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
the same night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And this bread which we break, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Come, for all is now ready.
Serve the Lord with your heart.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let's stand as we often do, and we'll sing together. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me.
That's right, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
That song and the benediction remind me of a father, me being that dad, who would walk into his son's bedroom and say these words as I whispered them over the bedside of my sleeping children. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and bring you His peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, tonight's announcements. On July 27th and 28th, that's next weekend, we'll welcome Sean Trump to Trinity. Sean and his family are one of our missionary families here at Trinity. They're based in Nairobi, Kenya. Sean is the LCMS Area Director for Eastern and Southern Africa, and he works with other LCMS personnel serving in these regions of Africa and builds relationships with the leaders of partner churches. He also implements strategies, projects, programs, and grants for roughly half the African continent, from Ethiopia to South Africa. Sean will speak at all worship services and hopes to stop by at the 9:30 Bible study as well. And it's time to start getting ready to go back to school. Bad news for the kids. Get ready for our annual Blessing of the Backpacks in worship on the weekend of August 10th and 11th. On that Saturday evening, we'll also welcome parents, students, and staff from the CDC in worship. We will dedicate the CDC teachers for the upcoming school year and bless backpacks and diaper bags. The CDC open house takes place before worship, where you'll have food trucks to feed everyone before church. You're encouraged to come early to eat and meet some of our CDC families. And finally, this is our third and final week collecting for Operation Barnabas military care packages. And they'll be collecting for other things during the year, but for this particular collection, that's going to end this week. And we want to thank you very much for the many donations that we've received for that program. And Pastor?
Yes. Thanks, Tom. And do you hear the music in the background when he walks? Dun, 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 dun. You don't? David's going to play it. Congratulations to our newly elected president of the congregation, Tom Finger. I did want to say we have a sister in Christ who was called to glory on July 5th, Faye Boss. And Faye and her husband Richard would sit just behind where Mike and Nancy are, usually on a weekend when they were here on Sundays at the 11 o'clock service. And Richard is a World War II. He served in the Nazis. He's been scripted, actually, into service. And then he was captured by the United States. He became a U.S. soldier, serving in two other theaters of war, World War II and the Korean War, on the United States side. So we start to see a service tomorrow for his lovely wife, Faye, who was married to him for over 40 years, and we are going to gather at 2 p.m. if you're available and would like to be here. We would love to invite you, and also to let you know that there will be a light luncheon following that service at 2 p.m., so around 3. And you're invited to either or both, but certainly to keep Richard and his family in prayers at the loss of Faye. Also, I just would say keep a lot of people in your prayers, because there's a lot of people in the hospital who need our prayers. So God's blessings, and as he blesses the work here at Trinity. Please stand and join us in the singing of our final hymn today, and enjoy it, and have a blessed week.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.